Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing the confidential reasons for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he mentions that these confidential reasons are actually the principal reasons for his coming here. And the other reason of his propagating the religion for this age, the Kali Yuga Dharma, that is the Harinam Sankirtan, thereby giving everyone pure love of God, Krishna Prem, is only incidental. And in the course of this discussion, Kaviraj Goswami goes really deep into explaining why Krishna wants to come in the mood of the gopis. Because of the supremely elevated status of their love, Mahaprabhu or Krishna wants to taste that and relish that, so he comes. Now we have started reading this today from text 218. And now Kaviraj Goswami has introduced the principle of Srimati Radharani, the personality of Srimati Radharani, having earlier spoken about also the gopis. In this verse, which is up on the board today, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that only the confidential devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand this transcendental secret. And that is a fact. To understand Radha and Krishna, one has to, in this age, go through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without that, it is not possible. To understand the deeper secrets and the mysteries of this transcendental relationship. But to approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to go through the six Goswamis. This is what Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Instruction. He says, no one can understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the six Goswamis. So, how does one approach the six Goswamis? Say, for example, Rupa Goswami's book, the Ujjvala Neelamani, is so elevated, it's very hard to understand. So how does one approach the six Goswamis? Through the works of the previous acharyas, that is the acharyas after them and previous to us. Even they are very difficult to understand because not only are they composed in Sanskrit or Bengali, but even if we were to understand these languages, they would be hard for us to understand. So the way for us to approach these literatures and this knowledge is through Srila Prabhupada's books and his teachings. So this is the hierarchy. So we go through Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we understand the works of the previous acharyas, and then going up to the six Goswamis, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then eventually, by their grace, we will be able to enter into the transcendental mysteries of these relationships, which otherwise will be bewildering. And with the conditioned mind, when we approach these topics, there is bound to be a misunderstanding. In the beginning verse here, 218, Kaviraj Goswami calls Radha as the beloved consort of Krishna, Krishna Vallabha Radha. And she is a life and soul, or she is a wealth of his life, Krishna Prema Dhana. Taha Vinu Sukha Hetu Nahe Gopikana. And without her, Krishna doesn't find pleasure, even if all the gopis are present, the other gopis. In other words, the other gopis in Goloka Vrindavan are meant merely to assist Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna in their pastimes. So this is the function of the other gopis. They have no independent function. And in fact, it's all the other rasas, all the other personalities who exist in Goloka Vrindavan, whatever be their mellow, whatever be their rasa, they may be in a mood of parental love, in a mood of friendship, in a mood of servitude. Ultimately, directly or indirectly, they are assisting this one relationship in many different ways. Of course, because Krishna is Rasaraj, he is the king of all the transcendental mellows. He is Rasika Shekhara. He is the topmost relisher of transcendental mellows. So he also enjoys these other mellows. But the ultimate conclusion is here, in the point that Kaviraj Goswami is describing. Now, we have to really strike a delicate balance here, because if you try to go too deep into such esoteric subject matters without being really spiritually mature, there could be confusion or there could be some misunderstanding. On the other hand, it is very important for us to know what our goal is. We have to have clear understanding of the tattva, or the truth, or the principle of Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, how would we know where we are going? When we embark on a destination, we must know where we are headed for. So the goal of our life is clear. So we say it is the love of God, but love of God, what does it mean really? Because there are many people who talk about love of God. So Srila Prabhupada's teachings, his books, explain elaborately what this love of God really is. There is a wonderful discussion between Srila Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which clarifies the conception of love of God and even about the goal of life. And Kaviraj Goswami has reproduced this conversation in brief. Mahaprabhu begins by asking Ramananda Rai, Prabhu kahe shlok padho sadhyara nirnay. He says, please recite some verses which explain the goal of life. How does one ascertain the goal of life? Rai kahe swadharma acharane vishnu bhakti hai. He says, simply by following the prescribed duties of the varnashrama dharma, one actually becomes a devotee. This is called Vishnu bhakti. And then he explains this, justifies this with a verse by saying, Varnashrama acharavata purushena parhapuman vishnu aradhyate panta nanyatattoshakarana. He said, by simply following the prescribed duties according to Varna and Ashram, one actually pleases Lord Vishnu, and there is no other way to please Lord Vishnu. But Mahaprabhu doesn't accept this proposition. He says, Eho bahya aage kaho ar. This is external. So go ahead, speak something more, higher. So then Ramananda Rai, he says, well, okay, if swadharma acharana, that is performing one's duties according to the varna and ashrama, is not the highest, then I will say Krishna karmarpana is the highest, to offer the fruits of one's actions to Krishna. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away in charity, do as an offering unto me. So when Mahaprabhu hears that, he says, no, that's also eho bahya aage kahoa. This is also external. So go ahead. And then Ramananda Rai goes on to say, well, all right, if Krishna karmarpana is external, then I will say, now we should give up all our duties in varnashrama. So we will do swadharma tyag. And then he quotes, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vaja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami mashucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. And then Mahaprabhu says, no, I'm not satisfied. Eho bahya, age kaho ar. This is also external. Go ahead. Say something more. And then he's thinking what to say, Ramananda Rai. And then he says, all right, jnana mishra bhakti, that is devotion that is mixed with empirical knowledge or philosophical speculation, that is the highest goal of life. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samha sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So this is the highest goal, to be situated on the platform of identifying with the soul, being on the Brahma bhuta platform, and then trying to serve Krishna. He says, no, eho bahya, age kohar. Even this is not really satisfying, Ramananda. So say something higher, something better. So the Ramananda Rai is now being taken to higher and higher and higher levels. Then he says, all right, jnana shunya bhakti, that bhakti which is without any empirical knowledge or philosophical speculation, that is the highest goal. And then he quotes the famous verse of Brahma from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namantya eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shudhikatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayaso jita jitopyasita istrilokyam. Where Brahma is saying that, my dear Lord, if anyone gives up this process of philosophical speculation and lives an honest life, a simple life, and dedicates all his time, his energies to hearing about you from the devotees, then he can become so qualified that he will actually be able to conquer you. Your name is Ajita. Ajita means one who is never conquered. But by following this principle, these three things, one can actually conquer you. So for the first time, Mahaprabhu says, Eho hoy. Yes, this is true. This is correct. And he says this from the point of view of that this is the platform in which we begin, really. Coming in the association of devotees and hearing about Krishna. Mahaprabhu approves this. This is the process. Eho hai. But, still go ahead. And then Ramananda Rai talks about prema bhakti, pure love of God. So he's taking... They're going higher and higher and higher. And when he talks of prema bhakti, he quotes two verses. One, which explains love of God according to the mood of Vaikuntha, which is according to regulative principles. And he quotes another verse, which Srila Prabhupada explains, is spontaneous devotion. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritairna labhyate. If one wants to taste this nectar of love of God, of Krishna prem, then one must buy it. One must purchase it wherever it is available. Whether at Tesco, Costco, or anywhere. But when we go there, we are not about to find it. We won't find it. So we have to anyway search for it. We have to buy it wherever it's available. So what is the price? What is the price we have to pay? Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. There's only one price. Mulyam ekalam. And that is laulyam, greed. So when there is greed for Krishna, just like people are greedy in this world for mundane things, if one is greedy for Krishna, then automatically one can purchase Krishna. Of course, such greed also comes by association. We can't find it at Tesco and Costco. We can only find it in the association of devotees. So if one develops this hankering for Krishna, then one can obtain this nectar of love of God. Otherwise, even if one performs pious activities for millions of births, one cannot obtain it. So Mahaprabhu is very pleased with the principle of love of God in a spontaneous mode. What is the difference between love of God in according to regulative principles and love of God in a spontaneous mode? In the first one, there is a conception of the greatness of God. There is a conception that He is the Master and I am to serve Him. And there is a consideration of, shall we say, decorum. But in the mode of spontaneous love, as seen in Vrindavan, there is no question of decorum. Anything goes, because the love is purely on the spontaneous platform. It is very, very exalted. So Mahaprabhu approves this. He likes this idea very much. He said, "Eho hoy." Very correct, Ramananda Rai. But, aage kaho aur, go further ahead. And then, Ramananda Rai speaks about the dasyaras, in which one can serve Krishna as a servant. One considers Krishna as the master. Mahaprabhu likes it, but he says, still, aage kaho aur, go ahead. Then he comes to the platform of loving Krishna as a friend, the Sakhyaras. And he quotes a very famous verse. Ittham satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakam vijaharu krishapunya punja. Where he says, Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying the cowherd boys of Vrindavan for the good fortune they have. And he's saying that there are some people who consider the Supreme Lord to be something impersonal. So they are fascinated by that glaring light, that effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And they perform severe penances to obtain that. There are others who consider Krishna to be just an imaginary character. He is not really real. He is just an ordinary human being maybe, but he's not God. And so they consider Krishna either as an ordinary man or as someone who doesn't exist, just mythological and so on. But for the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, they just considered Krishna as their friend. They didn't have any conception that Krishna was God. And then Mahaprabhu wants Ramananda Rai to go higher. And he comes to the platform of Vatsalya, parental love. Nanda kim makarod brahman shreya eva mahodayam yashoda cha mahabhaga papu yasyastanam harihi. He gives the example of this verse from the Bhagavatam, where the status of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj is being discussed. What great fortune these two personalities have. What kind of austerities and what kind of practices, spiritual practices they must have done in previous lives to be able to serve Krishna in such an intimate way. Mother Yashoda even fed Krishna her milk. So what kind of exalted status is this? It's beyond conception, beyond imagination. And then Mahaprabhu likes this very much, but he says, go ahead further. And then he comes to the point of explaining the Madhurya Ras, where the gopis of Vrindavan, they love Krishna as their beloved. And here, whatever constraints there are in the earlier rasas are now not there. So the love of the gopis for Krishna is the highest. So now Ramananda Rai has come to the point of explaining how this is the ultimate goal of life. And in explaining the love of the gopis for Krishna, of course, it's a long topic and we don't have enough time to go into all the different aspects. But Ramananda Rai mentions one important thing. He says that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashah. He says that I reciprocate with someone according to the degree of his surrender or his mood. So according to how we approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates very appropriately. But when it comes to the gopis, Krishna cannot reciprocate anymore. He loses his capacity to reciprocate because the love of the gopis is so great, their spirit of sacrifice is so great that Krishna finds himself a debtor. And he says, I'm sorry, I can't reciprocate. So this formula of the Bhagavad Gita breaks down, Ramananda Rai says. When it comes to the love of the gopis, then this principle of Krishna reciprocating according to the love of the devotee doesn't hold anymore. Just like those of you who are students of science, you know that there are laws which apply in a certain area, and then beyond a certain speed or beyond certain temperature, whatever it is, this law breaks down. So like this, in the science of Krishna consciousness, there are some laws that break down at certain levels. And this is one of them. So Ramananda Rai illustrates this to show how exalted is the love of the gopis for Krishna, that Krishna's formula breaks down. And he gives Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami then gives a very beautiful analogy to help us understand how these five mellows relate to each other. But it is important to understand before we go ahead that all these mellows, they rest on the platform of Prema Bhakti. You will remember that in the course of the progression, Ramananda Rai had come to the point of discussing Prema Bhakti. And it is only when Mahaprabhu asked him to go further that he started talking about the other mellows. So until we come to the platform of Prema Bhakti, there is no question of the other rasas coming in, whether it's Dasya, Sakya, whatever. So this is the first principle, that the question of the five rasas comes in only at the platform of Prema Bhakti. And when it comes to Vrindavan, it is on the platform of spontaneous Prema Bhakti. So Kaviraj Goswami gives the example of how the five elements, the Pancha Mahabhutas in the creation, they come about. You know, earth, water, fire, air, ether are the five elements. And the generation of these elements during the universal creation starts from the subtler elements. So it goes in that order. So you first start, the ether is made up, then air comes up, then fire, then water, and then earth. And associated with these, there are what are called the tanmatras. There is, you know, sound, touch, form, taste, smell, and so on. So in the first element that is formed, that is sky or ether, there is the principle of sound. And then gradually, the next step or the next stage as it goes on is air. In the principle of air, there is also that sensation of touch. But also, of course, there is sound. So there is sound and touch. So air has the quality that ether has, but it has one more quality that ether doesn't have. So it has both the qualities. In other words, air has sound, it also has touch. And then we come to fire. Now fire has an extra quality that the other two don't have, and that is form, because you can see fire, you can see the form of fire. So then, in fire you have these three qualities. You have sound, you have touch, and you have form. And then you go on to water. When it comes to water, water has one quality which the others don't have, and that is taste. So water includes the qualities of the previous three, plus it has taste. And then we come to earth. Earth has the quality of smell, which is not there in water. If there is a smell, it's because it's in contact with earth. Sometimes devotees complain when they come to India, the water smells. But that's because it's been in contact with the earth in some way. But pure water is just taste and the other ones. So what are the other qualities? Starting with sound, and then touch, and then form, and now there is taste. And then with earth comes smell. So earth has smell plus all the other four. So all the five qualities, sound, touch, taste, form, smell, they all are included in earth. So similarly, Kaviraj Goswami explains that moving from the rasa of neutrality, shanta, going to dasya, the mood of servitorship, going up to sakhya, the mood of friendship, of fraternity, moving on to the parental rasa, the rasa of vatsalya, and finally to the conjugal mellow, the madhurya ras, there is an increase of qualities. In progression, the higher quality includes the mellows of the lower quality, the qualities of the lower mellow. And ultimately, the madhurya ras, or the conjugal mellow, includes everything. It includes all the five, the qualities that are there in all of the previous ones. So in this way, Kaviraj Goswami explains that the madhurya ras, or the conjugal ras, is actually the topmost mellow. It must also be clarified, and Srila Prabhupada explains this in his purports, that because from an objective point of view, we see the madhurya ras as being the highest, it doesn't mean that the devotees who love and serve Krishna in the other mellows feel any sense of lack. They don't. They feel a sense of complete fulfillment, satisfaction, and they're perfectly happy. They may even feel their rasa is the best, and for them it is the best. Hanuman, for example, may appreciate the love of the gopis, all glories to the gopis of Vrindavan, he may say. But for me, I just want to serve Lord Ram. That is his situation. But nevertheless, he does come as Murari Gupta in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela just to have an understanding of what Vrindavan is all about. So he wants to get a hidden glimpse. So he comes in as Murari Gupta to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, having described how the Madhurya Ras is most exalted, now Ramananda Rai probably thinks, okay, this is it. Now I've come to the highest. But Mahaprabhu has a surprise in store for him. He said, Age kohoar, still go ahead. And then Ramananda Rai says, I never even imagined anybody could ask such a question to go beyond this point. And then Ramananda Rai, of course, he's empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says, yes, amongst all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the supreme. And then he quotes his famous verse, Anaya Radhito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshwaraha Yanno Vihaya Govinda Pritoyam Anyat Rahaha. And in this verse, the word Anaya Aradhitaha. Aradhita refers to by her he is worshipped, referring to Radharani. And it explains here, the gopis are speaking amongst each other, that Krishna has taken her to a secluded place away from us. In other words, it goes to show how superior her status is in comparison to the other gopis. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this word aradhitaha is the word from which the word Radha comes. Radha means topmost worshipper. So, Aradhitaha, by her he is worshipped. From this we derive the word Radha. So sometimes when people say that why is Radharani's name not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, our acharyas explain it is mentioned but in a hidden way in this verse. Anaya Aradhito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshwaraha. So as Aradhita it is mentioned. And it is also pointed out that if Shukadev Goswami had mentioned Radharani's name, that he would probably have gone into a trance of ecstasy for many, many days, and Parikshit Maharaj didn't have so many days. So he had been cursed to die, and by the time they reached the 10th canto, already many days had elapsed. So Shukadev Goswami didn't have time on his hands. So he didn't want to take a risk, if one may call it that, of chanting Radharani's names, because what if he went into ecstasy? Then he wouldn't be able to continue the Bhagavatam. And what would happen to Maharaj Parikshit? So Srimati Radharani's position therefore is topmost. And thus in this verse here we hear that without the gopis, without Radharani, even the gopis cannot give Krishna pleasure. And that is why it is again mentioned even in the Rasleela one time, even though Krishna appeared before all the gopis, but he left the other gopis in order to search for Srimati Radharani. In other words, the totality of all the millions and billions of gopis in Goloka Vrindavan cannot completely satisfy Krishna unless Srimati Radharani is there. So when Krishna left, the gopis went hither and thither searching for Krishna. And they came to a place where Krishna was hiding. And then Krishna assumed a four-armed form of Lord Narayan. And when the gopis came to Lord Narayan, he was Krishna. But they weren't at all distracted. They just offered their obeisance. Oh, Lord Narayan is here. Our obeisance is to you. But by the way, can you tell us where Krishna is? Which way did he go? Now, I don't know if Lord Narayan pointed with his four hands in any direction. But in any case, the gopis then, they went ahead searching for Krishna. There was Krishna here, but he was in his four-armed form, and they didn't want to see Krishna as God, as four-armed Narayan. They just wanted to see him as a cowherd boy. So they went ahead. And then behind the gopis came the topmost gopi, Srimati Radharani. And when she came in front of Krishna, who was in a four-armed form, he was trying to deceive Srimati Radharani, but he was not successful. Because the power of Srimati Radharani's love was so great that Lord Narayan's two arms melted. And he assumed his original two-armed form as Krishna. So this is the position of Srimati Radharani. In fact, in Braj, there is a place called Paita, where this Leela is said to have happened. It is not too far from Govardhan. Those of you who are familiar with the Govardhan Parikrama, when you walk around and you come to the end of Govardhan, to the place which is Puchadi, the tail of Govardhan, so to speak, and you turn around and start walking now back, it's way on your left, and you have to walk quite a distance inside. So this is the place at which Lord Krishna assumed the form of Lord Narayan. And he could deceive the gopis, but he couldn't deceive Srimati Radharani. And then Srimati Radharani again got the company of Sri Krishna. So this is an indication of Srimati Radharani's position. And it is her mood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has assumed for the purpose of relishing this love, and incidentally also to spread the Yuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan. Thank you very much. So we'll stop here. Just one.